I'm really excited about this. We are beginning a series of shiurim on the thought, the machshava, the hashkafa of Rav Aaron Cutler. Let me try and give a little bit of a hakdama. In general, in Kayetzman, we typically try in a Friday shiurim to speak about 20th century figures. We've spoken a little bit about the Rav. We've spoken about Moshe Feinstein. We've spoken about Putner. We've spoken about the Chazon Ish, and it's Chafetz Chaim. And it's a wonderful opportunity to speak about Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler is, on the one hand, it could be he's one of the most influential people that we don't always know as much about or learn as much of his Torah. And part of the goal is to be able to introduce us not to Rav Aaron's Shiurim and Shas. That's not the goal of this particular slot. Not even to his Tshuvas of Mishnah Shabbi Aaron, of a couple of volumes of Tshuvas. But really the Musar, the Machshava, and the Hashkafa of Rav Aaron Cutler. We're going to do that similar to what we do with the Chasam Sofer, which is often to give it greater context, to speak about a couple of Mahalchim and some of the issues that he spoke about. But today, in many ways, is going to be more of a Hakdama to who Rav Aaron Cutler was and what he was all about. We're going to frame elements of it. Again, I don't claim great expertise, hopefully, over the course of the Zman become more and more. But to frame it a little bit by a particular question in the title, which relates to what he saw his role in America, why be in America? He had options. He was officially at one point even a yeshiva, but yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael also, and to understand a little bit of what was going on. But let me begin as follows. Source number one, I say this to prove the point more than anything else, Professor Jonathan Sarna is one of the most well-known experts of the world of American Jewish history. And he wrote a short article about Rav Aaron Cutler, where he points out that many people, especially if you are a little bit more modern or academically inclined, who are thinking about some of the most influential people in the Orthodox world of America in the 20th century, would think about Soloveitchik or think about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, etc. He happens to argue that in many ways, what he calls a largely forgotten Orthodox rabbi and leader, we would say not as forgotten, but undoubtedly, potentially the person most responsible for what the frum world looks like in America is Rav Aaron Cutler. And Rav Aaron Cutler's influence and his hashkafa is dominant, not only in the world of Lakewood, but as Lakewood has expanded, and I mean that in a couple of ways, Rav Aaron Cutler's thought and his machshava and his influence is very, very much felt. We'll speak a little bit about, I don't want to focus on dates, but a little bit about Rav Aaron Cutler's life, and then we'll focus again on elements of his machshava. He's orphaned at a relatively young age, I think by age 11 or so. Rav Aaron Cutler is orphaned. He goes to learn in a couple of yeshivas. His primary yeshiva, I think where he was for about 5 years, he's a Talmud of the Slabodka yeshiva. The Slabodka yeshiva, then the Alter of Slabodka, Rav Aaron's a Talmud of the Alter of Slabodka. At that particular time, Rav Aaron Cutler is very close to Dr. Kamenetsky. Many of the future great Rabbanim and Gedolim of America are products of Slabodka. Rav Ruderman in Neri Yisrael, Rav Huttner in Chaim Berlin, Hanach Leibowitz in Chavetz Chaim. There's a lot of the of Rav Kamenetsky in Tor Vadas. A lot of the Manhigim in America were produced at that world of Slabodka. Slabodka is a world that valued godless Adam, a certain kind of greatness. And Rav Aaron is very, very much a part of it. In Eloy from a very young age, you know, a Baki in Tanakh when he was 5 years old, 7 years old, when some of these kinds of stories. Of his family, this is a little bit well known also. He has a sister who is not from. I believe a sister that may have even written letters to him while he was in Slabodka, trying to sort of convince him a little bit to leave. The Alter of Slabodka had the practice of confiscating such letters, not wanting Rav Aaron to see it. Rav Aaron finds out. It gets a little bit heated at times. There are different maises about this. But Rav Aaron definitely is pulled. His sister, I think, became a math professor and used to lament the fact that you know, her brother could have been one of the all-time greats in the world of mathematics, and Nebuch became a Rosh Yeshiva. So there's definitely a lot to... But he's in Slabodka. From Slabodka, he goes, and he's learning by Rishon Zalman Meltzer, the Evan HaEzel. Rishon Zalman is a... Zalman eventually becomes his father-in-law. He marries the daughter of Rav Yisrael Zalman. And Rav Aaron Cutler, at a relatively young age, is already a well-known Rosh Yeshiva in Europe. Rosh Yeshiva in Slutsk, or Kletsk, is where the yeshiva ends up being, the Kletsk Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav Aaron, again, already in Europe, is influential. He begins to also be involved in communal affairs when he is in when he is in Europe. Eventually, he leaves Europe really just right before, just towards the end. Holocaust is beginning to go on. Rav Aharon gets out. I think he lands on Erev Pesach in San Francisco with his family. And Rav Aharon eventually ends up living in some combination of New York and Lakewood. He begins the Lakewood Yeshiva. For a lot of the time, Rav Aharon, when he first gets to America, is not really giving shiurim or starting a yeshiva. Rav Aharon is very much involved, we'll speak about it in a minute, in trying to save people who are in Europe and working really full-time on that. Akedei kach, that a lot of the week was dealt full-time in saving the Jews who were in Europe to get them out. We quoted the famous Ma'aseh Rav Aharon Kalar and the Mafia, I think, at some point in Chorev Zman. And then Rav Aharon sort of, on the weekend, is coming to give shiurim. In the weekend, he's coming to do it. That's a little bit of his life. Rav Aharon Kalar, like many people, especially many Gedolei Yisrael, he excelled in many different realms. And I want to articulate them so you can appreciate a little bit. At his core, Rav Aharon Kalar is a Rosh Yeshiva. He's a person that gives incredibly high-level shiurim. They say that, there are different Lashonos, different things they say about Rav Aharon Kalar. Salvechik, I think, said that at a very famous talk, that Rav Aharon Kalar reminds him of his grandfather, of Reb Chaim, when he met Rav Aharon Kalar, said, I think it's been 40 years since I met someone that's that, you know, at that kind of a madrega. Rav Aharon Kalar was recognized as a gadol amongst other gedolim as well. And shiurim, he invested a lot in. They were very, very complicated and hard to follow, his shiurim. The shiurim were a real combination of lumdus and cheshbon. It was very, very hard, and he held that they had to be that way a little bit. He also has tshuvas. There are tshuvas, Mishnas Rabbi Aharon. His tshuvas are also, they're heavy and lumdus-based. It looks very different than a tshuva of like Rav Avadya and Yechaveh Das, of like a summary of what people say. It's much more sort of like, I would say, dealing a little bit more with some of the primary mekoros and a lot of lumdus and the like. As a Talmud of Slobodka, he's also Echad Mi Bali Amusar. He gives, they have four volumes or so, Mishnas Rabbi Aharon, of his Ma'amarim and Sichos Musar. So Rav Aharon also, he gave a lot of shmuzin. He gave shmuzin, and here's an important thing. Look in a second, not only in the context of Lakewood, but he gave shmuzin to lots of different crowds, which leads us in many ways to the fourth element, besides Rosh Hashiva and Posek, Rosh Hashiva, Posek, and giving this the Musar shmuzin, he is a manhig. And I want to define what I mean by the word manhig. The world is fascinated by the sugya of leadership. There are svarim that come out often, like, you know, looking at Chumash through the lens of leadership and places that have like leadership training programs. There's this emphasis on the world of leadership. There are different kinds of manhigim. This I remember hearing from years ago. Different kinds of manhigim. Amongst Gedolei Yisrael, there were many manhigim that you would say in many ways were reactionary. By that I mean, if you wrote them a shaila, they would respond with a tshuva. What they said mattered a lot, but they were less proactive. They were in many ways more responsive. You think about the impact of Rav Moshe Feinstein in many ways. A lot of Rav Moshe's impact is the way he responded to shailas that came his way. Igros Moshe, massive impact, dominant impact as far as the greatest posek, certainly in the 20th century of America, you know, is Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe is doing that in many ways, you know, as a bit of a reaction. He's not proactively going around all week, you know, and things like that. He's responding to shailas in a particular way. There are also manhigim. That dedicate more of their time towards what you would call like proactive leadership. Rav Moshe had elements of this also, but proactive leadership. If you think about it as a moment, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe wasn't only about what people asked him and responding. Lubavitcher Rebbe was proactive. What are the needs? And then sending people out and doing what he could. The Satmar Rebbe had elements of this also. And Rav Aharon Kalar certainly did. He was a real manhig. He was involved in communal issues, very much involved in fundraising, and very much involved in communal issues. Organizations like the Agudas Harabanim, the Aguda, so Rav Aharon Kalar, Moetzik Adolei HaTorah, is very involved in what you can do through the Aguda. Rav Aharon Kalar is very involved in Torah Mesorah, starting yeshivas through Shraga Feivel and Lavish and others, but starting yeshivas throughout America. He's very much involved in a lot of these kinds of institutions. He also gets involved in what happens in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Aaron Cutler is he's known from Europe amongst the Gedolim, and he comes a bit to Eretz Yisrael. He visits Eretz Yisrael a bit. He's involved. He's involved in Sheru Lumi. He's involved in issues. He's not a Zionist. We'll speak maybe a different. Maybe again. Maybe Monday. We'll speak of the nature of his lack of Zionism. I think it's intriguing. But Rav Aaron Cutler is very much involved in Klal issues. Akedei Kach, as we'll see in a little bit, that elements of his own. You know, he didn't publish far in his lifetime. They're published, I believe, all afterwards. But Rav Aaron is able to build a whole lot by way of, you know, all the different things that he is doing, What I want to try to do, as a bit of a hakdama, I would say, to the world of Rav Aaron Cutler, is to explore a particular question. It's not a classic sheer kind of a question, but I think it's an intriguing way of looking at things. And in terms of the following, it'll be a hakdama again to his hashkafa a little bit. Rav Aaron Cutler has options. He has options. He's a known figure. It's not a question of can he or can't he get a job. He's his father-in-law, Rishon Zalman, moves to Eretz Yisrael. So he has mishpacha in Eretz Yisrael. And again, he himself doesn't have parents. So it's not like he's able to, it's not like he's like staying with the family in America. He has options, and he decides that he's going to be primarily in America. The question is why? Why make that choice? And what does that tell us about him? So I don't know for sure, but I'll share with you two pieces of information. One much briefer, and the second we're going to develop a little bit, which is, I think, somewhat of a well-known idea. But let's go as follows. The first, it's very well-known. There are slightly different versions of what exactly happened in the Sefer Hagon about the Gra and the Sefer Eish HaTorah, which is a two-volume Sefer on Rav Aaron Cutler, slightly different versions. But the way it's often said over, at least, is that Rav Aaron Cutler did not know what to do. He did not know where to go, and he engaged in what's referred to as a Goral Hagra. What is the Goral Hagra? So there is a Mesorah. If you look in verse number 3, there's going to a brief discussion of it. In the Sefer Eish HaTorah, he has another discussion about this. But in the Sefer Shevet HaMusar, it says, Kibalti Me Rabosai, if you want to know something and you're not sure what to do, take a Chumash or take a Tanakh, open it, point to a Pasuk, and that's the Pasuk that's supposed to be able to give you guidance. The Chidah similarly said something also was comfortable and had a certain kind of Mesorah. But it's often associated with the Goral Hagra. The Gra, a certain kind of Goral. What is the Goral Hagra? So in many ways it's publicized by the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim apparently used the Goral Hagra. He said once that it was a Kabbalah he had come by way of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. His father and his Rebbeim of the Chavetz Chaim were Talmidim of the Volozhin Yeshiva. Think about what are the details and how you do it. So I don't know, but apparently a person needs to be at a particular madrega to know how to use it. A madrega of I don't know enough. You know, it is what it is. The Goral Hagra, you'd open it up. So Rav Aaron Cutler apparently was debating where to go. He chose to use the Goral Hagra to figure out what to do. He had two options in front of him. One option, I guess, was to go to Eretz Yisrael. The other option was to go to America, where one of the major gedolim in America was Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe apparently had been involved in setting things up as an option for Rav Aaron Cutler to come to America. He does a Goral Hagra and lands in the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem el Aharon, Leich Likras Moshe HaMidbara. Hashem said to Aaron, go to Moshe in the Midbar. Rav Aaron Cutler understood. You don't have to be the most subtle of people to pick up on this. It was a pretty good, like, to choose a Pasuk, like, you know. Speaking to Aaron, that's me, go to Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, HaMidbara, the Midbar of America. America's perceived as being a place which is, and America is in many ways, a place where certainly late 19th century, early 20th century, it is not the firmest place in the world. Yeshivas don't exist that much in America. The idea of from day schools is a bit of a chiddush. People would learn, you know, after school, weekend, things like that. The idea of keeping Shabbos was something which was very much lacking. Minig America, you know, there are things. It was not the firmest place in the world. It was not the easiest place. It was a midbar in many ways. And there's a Goral Hagra telling Rav Aaron Cutler, this is where you're supposed to go. That in and of itself is significant. Because what it does in many ways is it frames a perception relating to Rav Aaron Cutler. There are people who are people and they matter in their own way. Rav Aaron Cutler is a historical figure. And the question of where he's going to end up is a question which is guided by a degree of hashkacha pratis. He's meant to end up in America. Leich el Moshe, that's where you are supposed to go. And of our color in a way which I think is unfathomably impressive, we'll speak about in a moment, is very much mission-focused and very much klal-focused. He's not about his own learning. He's not about himself and his own accomplishments or his own sfarim. Rav Aaron is there on a mission. Leich el Moshe, go to the midbar, that's what he is supposed to be doing. And he's there and he's going to be working tirelessly to do whatever he can, but he's dominated by a sense of mission. That sense of mission, which is dominating his particular perspective, unsurprisingly, is influenced by the story of his life. As a Holocaust survivor and seeing the Churban of Europe, so part of Rav Aaron Kotler was geared towards an act of rebuilding. It was geared towards, what can I do to bring what is supposed to be there? That is one level of where Rav Aaron Kotler ends up in America. It doesn't tell us enough yet about what the goal is of being there. It doesn't tell us enough about why start a yeshiva or be involved in X or Y, but it does frame issues a little bit. There's a hashkacha here going on. He's a big person, which is coming, which is also intriguing. Many of the gedolim in America post-World War II were not gedolim in Europe pre-Holocaust. They were younger. They were people that had a shmua about them. You heard these up-and-coming people, but they really sort of left their mark and only really began to influence in a serious way post. Many of the bigger people pre the Holocaust were either killed in Europe or had a tough time transitioning over afterwards. There are language barriers, there are cultural barriers. It's not as simple at all. Ron Kotler is a big gadol before, who becomes a big gadol. He's a big person. He's a big person when he comes after. Okay, that's one nekuda. Why else? What else is going on in America? So here there is a very well known. There's a very well known misora that comes from Chaim Volozhiner. This is the world that Rav Aaron Kotler sees himself as being part of, the world of Volozhiner, Chaim Volozhiner, and the like. There's a fantastic article written recently by an old dear friend, Dr. Zev Elef, if any of you are Skokie affiliated, all about this Misora and how it unfolded. It's a Misora that comes from Chaim Volozhiner. Different versions of this Misora, Varon Salvechik used to say it over, if you're a Chicago person, I guess. That may be exciting for you if you ever davened in Brisk or you went to Skokie. Rav Aaron Salvechik had this as a family Misora, but it comes in many, many ways. We are going to quote the version of it, which is said over by Reb David Lifshitz. There are different versions of it. The version that matters most for us was said by Reb David. Who is Reb David Lifshitz? The Suvaka Rav. He was Reb Achman's grandfather, a very well-known Rishiva NYU, but a very influential Echad Me'agadolim. Very connected to the world of the Gedolei Torah and the Aguda in America. And this is from a hesped that Rav David Lifshitz gave. He's a very talented speaker. It was a hesped he gave for Avshner Kotler. Avshner Kotler is Rav Aaron Kotler's son. Rav Aaron Kotler's son passes away. And at the thing at the end of the Shiva, Rav David Lifshitz gave a hesped. It's printed in the Sichos Musar put out by Rav David Lifshitz, the Sichos Musar put out called Tehillah LeDavid. Rav Achman, I think, has a couple of copies of it. And there he quotes the following. This is the Misora as quoted there. That one time, Rav Shemanu Shenimser Me'agrach Mi'Volozhin, Shepam Bacha Bechia Atzuma. That one time, Rav Chaim Volozhiner started to cry. Now, an intriguing thing is that some of this stuff, if you buy into like a narrative, I don't know, when I was younger, I was told this, like, the Hasidim believe in like Kabbalah and like mystical things, like the Misnagdim, like, don't at all. But that's like not at all true. The Gra and Rav Chaim Volozhiner are Mikubalim. They're Mikubalim and it's a Goral HaGra. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner starts, it's like a Chassidus HaMaisa in a certain sense. He could like, but the way it's said over is that Rav Chaim Volozhiner started crying once. And his Talmud, the Nachlas David, comes over and says to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, why are you crying? Rav Chaim Volozhiner says as follows. Besof Yimei Galusenu HaTorah Tegalah LeAmerica. That towards the end of our time period in exile, Torah is going to end up in America. Rav Aaron Kotler in the Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, we'll speak about in a minute, in Amud Kuf Peites and Chelek Dalid. So Rav Aaron Kotler quoted that also. There it's about, there are 10 different stages of Gullus that Torah is going to go through, and the last stage of Gullus of Torah is going to be in America. and he started to cry. Why are you crying? And he broke al korban hagadol shachach meitarfas 6 million Yehudim. Rambam Chaim Volozhin predicted the Holocaust. By the way, the Maisa said over at Davod Lifshitz, I'm crying over not all people have this particular kinach. I'm crying over the fact that there's going to be a Holocaust, meaning galus getting there even towards the end is going to be very, very difficult. And b'chiyas shnia b'chisi, I'm crying extra. I'm crying a second time because I see what's going to have to happen in order for there to be Torah in America. And I see the sacrifice which would have to be made, the karbanos, people that are going to go off and the rampant assimilation. And he said, I see what's going to be at the end, and the end is not going to be pretty. I see what's going to be at the end, and the end is going to be disastrous. That's Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Misora. The last stage of Torah in Galus is going to be the Torah of America. From America, we're going to move to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Misora from Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Aaron Cutler knows this Misora. If you look in source number 6 on the sheet, Mr. B. Aaron Chelek Dalid, we have the shmooze that Rav Aaron gave, Miyad Behigiyo L'Artzot HaBrit. From right away, Tafshin Aleph, when Rav Aaron comes and he reaches America, Rav Aaron gives a shmooze. And this shmooze tells us something about why he thinks he's there. Tells us something about what exactly he's paying attention to and what's going on. Says Rav Aaron as follows. First of all, I want to say, Hodat Ribono Sh'olam. I want to say thank you to the Van Hatzal, a lot of people that were engaged with Rabbanim and helping him get over. That was part of it. Says Rav Aaron as follows. There's undoubtedly a feeling, L'achar Melchama Norazo, I have a little bit of a feeling of a Vaser Yaakov Levado. The feeling of when Yaakov is alone fighting Sarah Shal Esav, Kilo he's the only one that's there. And says Rav Aaron that after this Chorban, we have one primary goal, and that primary goal is to build Torah. The primary goal is to build Torah. We spent a lot of time trying to bring people out of Europe and to save lives, but a primary goal is that of Torah. If you look at sort of Mutelas Aleinu Hachova La'asos Kechol Yecholteinu, we're obligated to do everything we can. Amanas Lin Torah Es Oal LeHaTorah B'Tzivyonan B'Musan U'B'Komasan Hamaleim V'Hamokoriyim. We're going to be Medaik, and then a second has a lot of Rivan color that particular formulation. Khan of Arizona, America. Umimena Yiskoni Kol Beis Yisrael. Ukmoshiadua Mishmei Dagrach Mivalajin. On the Didas HaTorah B'Esther Achsanios Adbo Shal Mashiach Tzkenu V'Chanaya Achrona Tia B'America. Meaning, Rav Aaron Cutler, it's part of this like historical feel for him. It's part of this national collective manhig kind of an experience that for Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Aaron is searching for is this is the last and final step. And he comes to America, and he's clear that is the goal. Says Rav Aaron, he's speaking to big people. Any roes atzmi kimisha roi lomer tochacha l'shem adam uvifrat l'gadol Yisrael. I don't view myself as being fit to give mussar to anyone, especially gadol Yisrael. That is usually the equivalent of no offense, but now I'll tell you what I think. Ach, kishadaver nogel is the kind of the fasho shiny, but we're dealing in a different era. And we're dealing in a world of tzakanos defashos, and we have to respond strongly. Uvimakum lashevis b'shalva. We could maybe sit. We're in America. We're safe, tranquil, peaceful. Leave me alone. Let me learn a little bit. Maybe you could say, he says, mutter lanu levatir me'aros manenu ala eiz nochkos achirz v'lifvul atos atos atorah b'tzakanos torizo. This is a historical time, and it requires us to give up and make sacrifices to rebuild. Give sacrifices to rebuild. Hazman ha-katzar v'chol ha-zaris ha-reiz ha-meshubach kol ha-shoel ha-reiz ha-shofich damim. Rav Aaron there's quoting a Yerushalmi in Yuma, quoting a Yerushalmi in the context of Pikuach Nefesh. The Yerushalmi says about Pikuach Nefesh that if a person is, we quoted this on at the end of Yom Tov Sheni when we talk about medicine, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Yerushalmi said when it comes to the Karnat HaFashon, Pikuach Nefesh, it's a mitzvah gedola. And that if you're zaris harez mitzubach, the quicker you can go to save someone's life, the better it is. The hashoel, if you debate, if you question, wait, should I or shouldn't I, with someone potentially dying in front of you, start asking shaylas, harez hashofech damim. You're a murderer. And Rav Aaron uses that Yerushalmi, which is used again in the original context in many ways, having to do with physical safety. But here we're talking about spiritual. We're talking about spiritual chorban. And Rav Aaron is saying we really got to do whatever we can do. We really have to build, and that is the ultimate message. And that means that we'll make sacrifices about our personal comfort, sacrifices about our time. That's Rav Aaron Cutler's vision. So he's here, there's a Goral HaGra which leads him, and when he lands, he feels like he's in a historical time, he writes. He's in a historical era of this part of this geula kind of a feel. Now, let me be very clear about something. The idea of being an element of geula, of coming in terms of a Mashiach type thing, so that comes in many ways. You have that both from the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim is part of the limit of Kachem, his kuntres, tipisili Yeshua. Chavetz Chaim himself, Derech Agav, wrote strongly about not going to America. It's one of these interesting Torahs about whether you do or don't go. Dr. Elif, in his article, talked about that a little bit. But Chavetz Chaim believes in this, and Rav Chaim Wasserman, the Kovet Shirim, Ikvah Sed Mashiach, we're a time period of potential geula. What Rav Aaron is talking about is radically different. He will speak at a different time from the world of, from the messianism, from the Mashiachas, the geula focus of the world of Chabad. That's something which is very, very different. Maybe a different time we'll speak about that. But there is an element of, these are historical times. These are historical times, and we have to build and do whatever we can. But let's unpackage this a little bit for Rav Aaron Kohler. So what exactly is the mission? What exactly is the mission? One mission we're going to focus on less for now has to do with with saving, again, people who are stuck in Europe, has to do with building yeshivas in the broader sense. But in many ways, a primary legacy of Aaron Kohler is building the yeshiva of Lakewood, is building the yeshiva in Lakewood. The Rav in Lakewood at that time was Rav Waxman's other grandfather. Nissen Waxman was the Rav in Lakewood. Lakewood at the time was had a lot of time in Lakewood. My grandmother, as long as in Stark, lives in Lakewood still. Had the wonderful opportunity, remember, in America, of spending time there. So Nissen Waxman was the Rav of Lakewood. It was a small farm town, like an hour and a half outside of New York City. And I think originally he wanted to bring a community there. Originally he tried to bring the Friedrich Rebbe to have Chabad be set up there. Okay, wasn't able that they went to Crown Heights, if you're familiar with that. And then he ended up, Rav Aaron Kohler, to set up yeshiva in Lakewood. And let's talk a little bit about that. For Rav Aaron Kohler, here's the Chakira, and then we can be Medayik. There's a machlokas a little bit amongst Gedolei Yisrael. It's clear that America needs chizak. It's clear that American Jewry are not in a great place. There's not really yeshivas. There's here and there, but it's not the dominant feel. And B'nai Torah are people that are not looked at all with a sense of like respect or kavod, or it's the most like, you know, responsible choice in the world to make. And there's a movement of Gedolei Yisrael who come over that want to strengthen it. It's not that there are no yeshivas, YUZ ran for a while. There are places there. But there's a push to raise the level in a certain sense. And there's a machlokas amongst Gedolei Yisrael about the following interesting question. It's a historical machlokas, closing hashkafa. It's one that doesn't matter, which is as follows. If I need to set up yeshivas in America, so is the goal to set up European yeshivas in America, i.e., to recreate exactly what we had in Europe, the exact same kind of yeshiva, and to build that in America, option number one, or America is a different culture, a different milieu, a different scene, and the goal is to set up a yeshiva which fits with the new world of America. We're still in the camp of Orthodoxy. I'm not talking about conservative Jewry, which is saying, really get into the American scene and go that direction. No. But it's to have a little bit of a different flavor, a little bit of a different scene. Those of us that are more familiar with the YU world, so YU, following elements of what you had in German Orthodoxy, if you had elements of it in a different way, Rav Hirsch, Rav Hildesheimer, the seminary there in Berlin, that kind of a scene, maintained that at least a mahalach of setting things up in the world of America was to have what you would call a broader yeshiva. A yeshiva with lots and lots of Torah and lots of good shiurim, but one that could have college in the afternoon, and one that could, which you didn't have in Europe the same way. I could start in Volozhin, a different time, but one that's going to have like a bit of a different feel, an American kind of a yeshiva with a lot of Torah. But that's it. Rav Kohler strongly believes that that is a mistake. He strongly believes that that's not true. He believes it's wrong a little bit al pi hashkafa. He also does not believe in the detractors, which tell him it's impossible to rebuild Kletsk in America, and that it can't be done. It can't be done in America. America is a scene. Again, the Chavetz Chaim, who wrote strongly about not going there in a certain sense, it's perceived as being a spiritual wasteland. And there are those who question if it's even realistic or doable. Rav Aaron Kohler is a believer that we decided to make, and here's the lashon again from that Shmuz and Chelek Dalet. What do I have to build? I have to build a yeshiva. Lintora es oalea Torah b'tzivyonan b'dmusan uvekomasan hamaleim v'hamikoriim. The original source of what yeshivas look like in Europe, that is what we're going to build. Parentheses, it was actually even a little bit different and maybe even a more intense way. Where does Rav Aaron Kahler set it up? So where is he going to go to set it up? He chooses not to go to New York, not to be in New York where there is a lot of the other yeshivas. He wants to go to Lakewood, where Lakewood is not Lakewood nowadays. If you go to Lakewood nowadays, it's a massive place. It's an interesting thing. We go, when we were in America, last time we were there, I mean, pre-COVID, it's been a while. I remember going there with my wife. And it's amazing, shopping in Lakewood. If you're whatever, it's amazing. It's a center. This farm shopping is great. The women's clothing shopping is amazing. There's a million, it's an amazing, the restaurant, it's a massive scene. It's something which is truly, truly remarkable, what's going on. Lakewood. He doesn't originally go because they have great shopping. He goes because they have nothing. And for Varon, part of it, this is a different shmooze in Chelek Dalet, page Reish Mem Beis. It's a bit of a different shmooze where Varon Kahler believes that the only way you can really set up Torah in America is by being not in and surrounded by the materialism of America. We have to separate a little bit. As opposed to certain yeshivas in Europe, which were more connected with the communities that they were in, they weren't set up with dorms or with meals, or eating people's homes. Not Lakewood. It starts very, very small, the yeshiva in Lakewood. But the goal is a yeshiva, which is learning at a high level, at the same level they were learning in Europe, in order to be able to build and grow in as much way as possible. Yeah.
How does that
shit work? He's producing Gedolim.
No, it's
what it is. Oh, that. Okay, so that we'll get to a little bit. We're not talking now whether he's anti-materialism. He's anti certainly the kind of materialism that would detract from focus on Torah. And I think he was deeply cautious that America had that. I think that was deeply cautious of. Rav Aaron Kahler sets it up and he begins to build again a different kind of yeshiva, avoiding some of the challenges that had really been there. Rav David Lifshitz, in his Hesped on Rav Aaron Kahler, summarizing Rav Aaron's life, talks about, he uses Rav Aaron Kahler, compares it to Aaron HaKohen. So when he talks about how when Aaron HaKohen passed away, so in the time of Aaron, what happened? Mace Aaron v'stalku anani hakavod, that there was a certain loss of anani hakavod at the loss of Aaron. And all we had, once the anani hakavod were gone, all we were left with was the Aron Kodesh. All we were left with was the Aron. Now, Nani HaKavod, Aron Kohen dies, Nani HaKavod are gone, but we still have the Aron Kodesh. We still have the Aron Kodesh. And he talks about how Rav Aaron Kahler is in many ways the fulfillment of this vision of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So who's the person that can build Torah in America? Reb Chaim Volozhiner is crying over the Karbanos. He's crying about how hard it's going to be. So who's really going to build it? The answer is Rav Aaron Kahler. He's the fulfillment of that Reb Chaim Volozhiner ambition to rebuild Torah in America. Which Derech Agav relates to the fact that Lakewood has kolim in lots of places right now. It's an interesting thing. And here's a subtle ha'ara. Rav Aaron Kahler doesn't set up a yeshiva in Lakewood because he doesn't care about Klal Yisrael. He's in New York most of the week doing things for Klal Yisrael. He's not setting up a yeshiva away because he doesn't care about the Jewish people. Rav Aaron Kahler firmly believes, Derech Agav, l'chora, this is confirmed historically, that he firmly believes the best way to build America, or a fantastic way to build Torah in America, begins by building a place like Lakewood. You build a place like Lakewood, so me Lakewood, say Torah. And that from there, the Zionistic monks can't handle that rhetorical move. It's okay, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. And that you'll be able to go sort of like from there to build. You can have Lakewood kolos in different places. The kolos in Montreal, like a kolos in LA, like a kolos in Chicago, like a kolos in all these places. They call it in Toronto. That so many of the you can have big places that are going to be one of the Gedolim of North America is Paul Miller is there in Toronto. It's a place of giants and of our own color in many ways. That's Lakewood is there for that. Interestingly enough, there's a book a very well known book. William Helmreich, who was a sociologist, a professor, wrote a book about the world of the yeshiva. He was a firm guy, lived in Great Neck, I believe. I believe he was nifter from COVID at the beginning of the stretch. I believe he was nifter from COVID. Is that possible? Do you know that? I think so. I can confirm that, but I think he passed away at the beginning from COVID smoking check, but I think that. I think so. What he did was he interviewed a lot of Gadol Yisrael for his book. And I believe he published separately transcripts of the interviews he had with Gadol Yisrael. They were very. So here, source number eight on the sheet has to do with William Heinrich's interviews with Rav Shneur Kahler. Rav Shneur Kahler is Rav Aaron's son. Rav Aaron has two children who survive infancy. Rav Shneur Kahler, he has a daughter who ends up in Eretz Yisrael. And he asked Rav Shneur Kahler a couple of questions about the Rav Aaron Kahler, America, and the ultimate goal. And he says as follows, I'm sorry if you can't read it as well, but he says, what were the problems the Yeshiva's father, Rav Aaron, had when he started to say Yeshiva in America? So Shneur said, you mean the obstacles? He said, yeah. So Shneur calls it as follows. I was in Eretz Yisrael at the time that my father went to America. Rav Aaron Kahler sent Rav Shneur Kahler to Eretz Yisrael, I believe, to learn from both his grandfather, Rav Aaron's father-in-law, Rizal Melta, the Eben Ezel, and to learn from the Brisker Rav, who was there. So Rav Aaron had sent him there. So when he came to America, he came in 1935, 1933, I can't read it enough, 35. Upon seeing the situation in America, he was convinced that the level of education was such that there was really very little possibility to develop Gedolei Yisrael without the creation of more institutions of higher learning. He thought it can't produce Gedolim, it can't produce giants. So he went to Mr. Mendelevitch. You know, it's very who he is, very important. He was machbet to call him Mr. Shlakvav Mendelevitch, which was the founding was founder of Torah Vadas. He was machbet to call him Mr., not Rabbi. He was a very wild, fascinating thinker. The article biography on him is an intriguing read if you have any time. Shlakvav was a very big person. Torah Vadas, a very interesting and intriguing place. He was a very out of the box, very fascinating person. He built a lot of Torah in America. Comes from Shlakvav. So he went to Rav Shraga Feivel, and Rav Aaron gave Mr. Mendelevitch his plans for the yeshiva he felt needed to be founded. He wanted to be in a small town away from the city, a place where people could devote all their time to learning Torah, and not just to have Bachurim, but he also wanted to have younger life. He wanted to have a kollel. He wanted to have guys who were learning who were already married. At the time in America, even though they were learning, so once you got married, it's like time to move on. You know, time to move on. So he says, okay, that there are already other yeshiva gedolos in America. Why Dafka Lake? What he says, he felt that there was a yeshiva that we needed to be doing even more. We need to be doing even more, so he wanted to start Lakewood. What were the obstacles? So Rav Shneur Kahler identifies the following. He said, my father had two, and there were two issues. One, my father had to recruit rebbeim from Europe who were qualified. It's hard to find. America had gedolim in America at the time, but they were spread out. One of the interesting bekiyos is for the Chicago people here, Gedaliah Dov Schwartz, Zichrono Livracha, I believe had a particular bekiyos in tshuvas of American poskim from like late 19th, early 20th century. One of his sfarim they put out, maybe Shari Gedula or something, they put out years ago, I think, of his shiurim going over like the history of American tshuvas. I had a roommate when I was in Smicha, Benny Slesky, who was from Chicago and family was close to God of Shorts. When they honored him at some dinner, they put it out and he had that in our room. So I remember going through parts of it. It was fascinating. Fascinating, if I'm thinking correctly. What happened? Rav Aaron, he needed rebbeim. The other challenge was the whole week he worked on Hatzalah. He worked on saving Jews who were stuck in Europe. So he had very little time to dedicate those, but he wanted to develop a generation of Gedolei Torah. The other problem was really, again, the learning was not that high. It was hard to find people that would come. Lakewood starts with a very, very small yeshiva. It's hard to find people to, who are you even teaching? Rav Aaron also, there are financial challenges. There are massive financial challenges starting a yeshiva where you're going to fund people. American Jewry is not wealthy. American Jewry is not as wealthy then. There are maises, Rav Aaron Kahler going fundraising all day. There's a mais going fundraising all day. At the end of a day of going from place to place, he raised $5. Okay, inflation, do the math. It ain't that good. There's a certain like bizyonos. I remember hearing a chashav Shiva when he was masbit of Nasan Tzvi, or Nasan Tzvi passed away from the mir. He said, we're us at Litein Din on the fact that we made him Nasan Tzvi with Parkinson's go around the world, raising money. You couldn't make the trip to him and get him and write him a check. So Rav Aaron Kahler, he's going around from place to place to raise money. People did that. People did that. Rav Aaron Kahler, I think when he was younger, went away, I think at one point to America for 11 months. People would go for months to raise money. That's what there weren't a lot of options. Those were the trips. That was what they did. It was very, very hard to raise money. But in many ways, the biggest challenge, and Be'ezus Hashem will speak about this next week a little bit, was reorienting in Rav Aaron Kahler's view what Torah Lishma looks like. It's not Torah L'shem Tachlis Acheres. It's not Torah so that you can become a rabbi, not Torah so that you can become whatever, but it was a pure kind of Torah Lishma. A Torah Lishma that it's not about practical benefits, that's what it was. And for Round Color, that was part of the shift that had to take place. Round Color is a fiery person. He's a passionate person. He's a big believer in the Kedusha of Torah and the purity of Torah. And he's willing to be strong sometimes, or sometimes very strong, in his particular perspective, in his particular worldview. There's a lot to be sort of gained. But what we're trying to frame today a little bit, it's the Hagdama to then talk about Sugyas and Mashav in many ways through Round Color. But we're dealing with a person that was a historical figure, a person that had massive, massive influence, and its influence which continues to grow. There are gedolim that are gedolim in their door. There are gedolim that are gedolim where the investment sort of keeps on paying off in massive, massive ways. So Byron's in that camp. The things he built are continuing to grow, and we're continuing to benefit from in ways that are very, very powerful. And that last stop on the journey, he's involved in Eretz Yisrael, he's involved in America, he's involved originally in Europe, he's spent time in London. He's a person that was around in different places, who was there to build and was massively mission focused. In the second source on the sheet, the Jewish Observer was a great magazine put out by Agudas Yisrael for years. Very, very intriguing. We used to get in the Turetsky home. It's a very chashev. They're the first to write about like some really critical issues about off the derech. It's an amazingly, so 10 years after Baron passes away, there's an article about Baron and Rabbi Rav Shaul Kagan. And he writes there something which I think is important, which we're going to have to just focus on as we learn these things. Rabbi Aaron, the Maneh Gador, was in large measure the extension of Rabbi Aaron, the Rosh Yeshiva. The fate of the two, Yeshiva and Klal, essentially indivisible. Rabbi Aaron was, and here's an important thing. It wasn't that he had two different facets of his personality, the Rosh Yeshiva type and the Maneh type. There was one Rabbi Aaron color. It was a fiery Rabbi Aaron color infused with Torah, that valued Torah, that was focused on building Klal Yisrael. And that's what it was. And we will, as Hashem, learn a little bit more about his mahalach, his perspective, in a way that can hopefully clarify for us and bring us to a good place. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day and a great Shabbos.